This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Hello and welcome to Season 2 of the Riot Act Rugby Review Podcast. This is Episode 4, and you'll have to excuse the sound of the pitter-patter of rain on the skylight, and don't worry, we won't mention the cricket.
Yeah, we will. We probably will.
You don't want to hear a grown man cry.
Well, that was...
But the pain will have eased by then. That's the important thing.
Anyway,
we are in lovely Albanun in O'Connor. Yes. Once again, thank you very much to Albanun for letting us do the podcast here.
And mood lighting as well.
Mood lighting. It's very exciting.
And the music coming up. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. Now, thanks very much.
We've just got food arriving. That's lovely.
Yep. The week that was. Where are we with the tipping comp, sir?
Alrighty. Will.
Wow.
That was thunder, by the way.
That was the fist of the angry god upset at the Brumbies playing boring ball. It's been thundering all week in Canberra since.
Okay, well, we all made fun of Tim's tips last week, but he's come out on top of the round with pick of five. I think it was the Cheetahs over the Waratahs that put him in front of the pack from me. But anyway, so Tim's got five, which is leaving on eight at the moment. Still coming third or so, or fourth, or fifth, maybe. I got four out of the round, putting me on 11. John got three, putting him on 10. Nico also got three, putting him on 10. Katina got two, the only person in the Southern Hemisphere to pick the Lions over the Crusaders. Benno only got three, putting him on 12, still in the front of the pack. So
you do realise South Africa is in the Southern Hemisphere. I'm sure there was a few South Africans who tipped
No,
there.
I don't think any of them.
So at the moment, we have in the lead Benno on 12, myself on 11, John and Nico on 10. Tim on 8, and Katina languishing behind on 6, but she's always picking the odd games out, basically, because she's always picking the odd games.
We gave a bonus point for upset of the round.
I'm on a roll. My tipping is increasing exponentially, so next week I'm going to score at least 8 or 9.
You're still 4 points off the lead.
Well, once I get my 8 or 9 next week,
you're going to get 8 or 9 out of 7 games.
No, there's only 6 next week.
This is like the way you play Monopoly, isn't it?
The Waratahs are having a bye next week, so there's only 6 games.
Okay. Waratahs and Sharks.
Waratahs and Sharks. Okay, shall we go through the games?
Yes.
Stormers 21, Chiefs 16, in Cape Town. We picked it here.
Yep.
Bright lights of Cape Town, dazzling the boys
in Cape Town. Well, no. I've got to say, some of us picked it here, Tim and myself.
Well, we still discussed the Cape Town
effect. We did, but only two of us picked it.
Okay, any comments on the game itself?
I could come back from the Stormers.
Yep.
And just not enough. From the Chiefs. Mind you, the Chiefs did have to travel a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was a factor here. The Stormers haven't looked like winning any other games at all.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that the Stormers were sort of nobodies in the Curry Cup last year.
Mm.
Chiefs, Curry Cup, NPC winners.
Mm.
Probably upset a few bookies.
Now, moving on, another big upset, Bulls 27, Western Force 30. They've won all three of their games that they've ever won in South Africa, the Force. What's going on with that?
That's a big win for the Force, I've got to say.
Actually, their first game was in Perth.
Their first wins we're talking about.
I understand what you're saying now, yep.
Their first win was in South Africa. And probably one of the teams that have the best record. Even some better than some of the South African teams.
Mm. Well, they only won the one game last year.
I think they've won more games in South Africa than the Cats have won.
Three, come on.
in 7 seasons of Super 12 and Super 14.
Yeah.
High scoring game. Obviously a lot of points on the board. Mm-hmm. But the boot of Cameron Shepherd. Shepherd was the difference between the two.
And the two tries by Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's really going to challenge for a Wallabies position, given some of the non-performance of some of the other big-name wingers in other teams, and Shepherd's been playing exceptionally well.
Mm.
I guess the
Shepherd's been given the ball, though. The other team's wingers, I mean, they needn't have turned up. The Brumbies could have played for 10 men quite happily through the last two games.
So on that point...
I was actually referring to Tatiri there, but...
Okay.
So on that point that Shepherd is getting the ball, do you think that Penjak and Gitto are starting to play better in the team?
Yes.
The team's starting to play better with them.
Yes, if the star winger has scored two tries, the halfback and the fly half must have done something right along the way.
Possibly cut out the centres.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing here is Victor Matfield's options. a number of times when they were just a couple of points behind, the option they took was to go for the try. Now, I guess it's one of those things, you know, if they just kick a penalty and take a draw, it's worth 2 points to them. If they try and take a try, you know, it's worth effectively an additional 3 points over a loss.
Oh, they were pushing for a bonus point as well, weren't they?
Not sure about pushing for a bonus point.
Okay.
I think they needed two extra tries for a bonus point. But, you know, I suspect he'll be in for a lot of criticism and post-watching next week. I haven't read any South Africa media, but I don't imagine the fans are too happy with the choices he took.
No, Keogh was particularly scathing of the arrogance involved in thinking they could drive over for a try. The easy drive over is just off for anyone except Auckland, except the Brumbies and Bruce. But,
in the rain, which is raining again.
I think you'd normally take a shot. You know, if you're the Bulls, which has such a dominant pack, you're at home, you've got the crowd supporting you. You know, going for the 5 metre line out probably is a reasonable option.
Force pack isn't a pushover, though.
It's not, but, you know, say that the Bulls have traditionally had one of the best packs in the competition for a long time.
It's always been
one of their, you know, safe plays, I guess. In the same way that some other teams might look to spread the ball with width across the field.
Mm.
You know, the Bulls, Cheetahs as well as another team that does it very effectively, keep it in the tight five, rolling ball from 5 metres out. You know, it's normally you would think it's safe money.
But not this time.
Full credit to the Force for keeping them out.
Yep. Now, moving on. Hurricanes 23, Blues 22 in Wellington.
Wasn't that a cracker of a game?
Absolute squeaker New Zealand derby. We just cut out the Australian and South African teams. Let's just watch the New Zealand side.
I know, it's such a different game when all you see is the ball being thrown left, right, and just running it up. They don't have so much a structured play. It's more just running. It's a running game. And they're playing the running game.
Yep.
Whereas you watch the Australian teams, it's static. Structured play, set piece every time.
I heard a comment from Fisher, in the paper the other day saying that he was expecting boring ball to
dominate the
Australian game in the coming weeks because the New Zealanders, without their star players, are capitalising, are having to try and be creative and make the breaks. And
I think where Fisher highlighted the inadequacies of his thinking is he's insisting that the boring ball is being forced by the slowness of the breakdown. The problem is that we're taking the ball into contact instead of passing out of contact.
Yeah.
So, we can't do much quickly because we're always taking the ball to ground. Yes, so throw the damn thing. And it's just the safety first risk aversion that's infected Australian coaching at the moment.
Yeah. But watching the game, you saw two tries that probably shouldn't have been tries, that threw one on either side, and I think one try that possibly could have been a try disallowed, and all sorts of fun stuff. It was a really good game, that, and good running and attacking from both sides.
Yeah, it's one of those games that the fans really like to see. You know, it went back and forth throughout the entire game. I think it was only in the last 20 minutes the Hurricanes managed to shut the Blues down for the win. But it's the kind of game that, as a fan, we like to see.
Yeah.
You know, where there's no...
Why you bother with your Foxtel?
That's right. It's no real ascendancy, and particularly
I've got to say, one of my favourite games was the 2004 Grand Final, where we were 20 points in 20 minutes.
Yeah,
that
well,
really
there's
good.
A certain excitement.
I
about,
like that idea.
In the Grand Final,
yeah.
There's a certain excitement about your team kicking ass, and we love to see the Brumbies thrash opponents.
But when you're watching neutrals,
They're watching neutrals, and even if you're just watching it for an appreciation of the game, this is the kind of game where you want to say, look, mate, you don't know much about rugby, let's stand out and watch a game, and this is the kind of game you want to put on. It's a spectacle.
Now let's now talk about the sort of game you don't want to sit Frank down in front of. Reds 3, Brumbies 6.
Almost the soccer was a higher scoring game than this.
Well, soccer was a higher scoring game in terms of scores.
Yes.
Well, it depends.
It's not
Frank,
points on the
depends
ball.
If Frank likes a bit of niggle and biff.
The Reds were dirty in the biff as well. I couldn't believe we had a player sent off each way in that that stink. That was.
I couldn't believe those two players were sent off.
Exactly,
because they were nowhere near it and had nothing to do with it.
The guys being held down and arms swinging all over the place.
And if you haven't realised, we're talking about the Reds Brumbies game, which the Brumbies won 6-3, the lowest scoring game in Super history.
Not so Super history in this
Not
case.
So Super rugby history.
This was dull. I watched this in King O'Malley's with Frank, or my American friend Tom, and I have to say at the end, well, that was the most boring game of rugby you'll ever watch, so it's all up from here. the Brumbies seem to want to be an English side at the moment.
They don't appear to be playing what we traditionally think of as Brumbies rugby.
Well, I just they haven't been able to make a line break. And when they do, they throw it away. Chisholm's break was great. All he had to do was beat Shinkovsky, and he just should have just stepped right through the man.
Shinkovsky is a pretty solid defender.
I know, but come on.
Stepped through the man, kicked around him, passed to someone else, all these things he could have done.
No, he did. He tried the pass, and it went wayward, and Mortlock didn't have wasn't anywhere near it. Mm. 20 metres out, was the only real Brumbies break, I feel.
Well, Mortlock's one where he had his head taken off. Now that's the second concussion for Mortlock this season. They're going to have to rest him for a few games.
Well, I believe he's out for this week.
Yeah, it's going to have to be more than a 1 week rest though.
Do you think it's going to disrupt the Brumbies? Well, we haven't really got much of a flow going, but
yeah, there's no flow going. It's not going to disrupt us at all. He's doing bugger all except getting his head removed. So,
he did win us the game.
That did win us the game.
Yeah.
So let's not complain about it too much.
He gave his head removed.
That's a real captain's knock.
Knock the captain, yeah.
Lloyd Johansson, should it have been more than the yellow card? Not
yes.
That it mattered to 10 to go.
Should have been red.
Yeah, it should have been red card. There was no attempt for him to,
He wasn't trying to tackle anywhere else, he just had his arm out.
Yeah, he was going for the classic coat hanger.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
Mortlock didn't look like he ducked into it or anything like that.
No, and that's normally the mitigating circumstances for a high tackle that might be a yellow card, but not all.
Yeah.
And the whole game was a bit niggled. I mean, Eddie Jones was sort of been complaining about the ref changing his attitude.
Eddie's always going to complain if he loses, and that's just life.
Really. I think it's fantastic. But I mean, I reckon I saw Rodney Blake go down a few times.
The props got away with murder. Turns out the blood bin was used quite oddly, I thought.
It was pretty
good. Well, I mean, what was the go with the scrum? In the last 20 minutes, no scrum actually stayed up. Was it tactics? Was it just because they couldn't hold their own? I mean, either sign. Who knows? I don't know. I just remember no scrum was held up, and luckily enough it was going the Brumbies' way, but none of them stayed up.
I noticed on Rydak this week there was a few calls from the peanut gallery saying how useless the Brumbies' props were, in particular a few people putting the boot into Guy Shepherdson.
Yes.
Your opinions?
I think it's totally warranted. I think he's rubbish.
But why? And what do we need?
For the benefit of our listeners, Nick here is actually quite good friends with Guy Shepherdson. And we'll be passing on your thoughts and your home addresses to Guy. Because,
And he's much bigger in person than he looks on TV.
It's not enough that only one Rydak team member has been smacked up by a super level prop. We need more.
I'd just like to point out, while we're talking about super level props, we saw the first instance of an ex-Radford player for the Reds as the replacement prop during the game.
Who is?
I've forgotten his name.
So you weren't close in your school years?
No, it wasn't Aggie. God no, we're far too old for that.
No, I'm joking. But, yes.
But it's the first instance of one of our ex...
And now managing to hijack that thread in quite successfully. Are you going to actually answer the questions? What do we need from the Brumbies props?
Brumbies forwards have been good to excellent. I think if they hadn't been, the current strategy of an English style kicking game would have collapsed miserably, and the Brumbies are travelling reasonably well in the comp. So, we got points in Brisbane. From Brumbies' point of view, we left Brisbane with a win.
Yeah, that's got to be
tick
good
the
thing.
Box. Hooray!
Yeah, I think that's what a team looks from any encounter that if they can come away with a win without too many injuries, then that's a good thing. The Reds came off much worse. They've got suspension. Stephen Moore is out with a knee, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be out for a couple of weeks.
I think
the Reds have come off pretty badly out of it, and the Brumbies have come away with a win. So,
besides Mortlock, I think we've lost Adam Wallace Harrison or the other three dads.
Yeah,
one of the two.
All right.
Yes, no, Adam Wallace Harrison's out for the week.
Okay, anyway, on that note, I think we'll go for song. Second week in a row, we're taking the songs from Tom Woodward's new album, Blue Day Requiem. Starting off with You Caught My Eye.
There's a dark wind blowing smoke out to the sky. Up can I find no food and the river is dry. There's pigeons that are falling in the middle of the street. I found you in an alley where the beggars like to eat. Yes, you cut my eye. Yes, you cut my eye. Well, I brought you to my flop house and I tied you to the bed. You said that you enjoyed it when I blindfolded your head. For the landlord didn't realize just who it was that we were, so we made out on the subway in a blanket made of fur. Yes, you cut my eye. Yes, you cut my eye. Some people, they get lucky and they buy a block of land. They grow all sorts of veggies and they eat all that they can. Well, me and you, we found a place that nobody owns just yet. So we set up camp for summer until the winter will hedge our bed. Yes, you caught my eye. Yes, you caught my eye. Yes, you Jane and Tarzan, and we made plenty of love. I chased you through the forest and I laid you in the mud. Our grapes, they were in season and our appetites were hot. We did so many things that in the cities you cannot. Yes, you is coming, it's been written in the news. There's all sorts of solutions and all sorts of different views, but we never paid attention till the sky began to burn. In a flash, just like an instant, there was nothing left to learn. Yes, you go. You kissed me on my stiffened lips and you whispered in my ears. But you can kiss and cry and whisper, but that's not me there anymore. I'm up here in heaven, they put locks on all the doors. Yes,
Okay, that was Tom Woodward with You Caught My Eye, once again from Blue Day Requiem, his album. And the last three games of the round.
Cheetahs 30, Waratahs 26 in Kimberley.
I love watching the Waratahs lose.
I love watching the Cheetahs win, to be honest.
Mm. Are you people starting to come around to saying it's enjoyable to watch the Cheetahs play?
It's good watching a team playing above its abilities. It's like Brumbies in their early days. In fact, the Cheetahs are very like the Brumbies in their early days. The similarities are significant. They've got a really great front row and they really use it well, and the Waratahs don't have a back line, so...
they do have one, so they don't use it.
Yeah. Well, and it's got Lodgy in it, and you trust him, because he might go back to league next season, so...
Just don't give him the ball, you think?
Yeah.
He might be going to the Reds as well, by the sounds of things.
I don't think so.
This game really came down to a couple of things. Waratahs lost Phil Wall in about 3 minutes into the game.
Do you think they're actually going to miss him?
Yes, they will.
With Rocky having to step up possibly for the captaincy. Yeah,
Rocky's played really well over the last couple of years, and he probably can step up. Okay, he's a great player, but let's face it, you still need the dominant teams in the competition have a world-class fetcher.
Not this season, but the fetchers have been secured.
Traditionally, yep. Always have. Mm-hmm. And losing Phil Wall early on here, I think, was directly affected the Waratahs to allow the Cheetahs to score Sunday quick tries early on. And they got, I think it was three tries in the first 20-25 minutes.
So no one in the Waratahs stepped up and said, hang on, I need to go, didn't they?
That's right. I mean, I think losing such an inspirational player as Phil Waugh to a team is going to be disruptive. And they didn't adjust quickly enough to counter the Cheetahs' threat there. To their credit, the Cheetahs stepped up. You know, they've got a fantastic solid platform in their forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Always have. They've got some amazing pace in their back line now. I think it was Philip Berger. My God, you know, showed a clean pair of heels to just about the entire Waratahs back line.
And the South African team is willing to give us back some ball. That's notable.
You know, and they played a really strong strategy. They get quick restarts, a little controversial apparently, you know, with how they got the ball back for some of the restarts, but... You know, quick restarts, quick kickoffs.
Those quick restarts are always going to be on the edge of the ball, though.
Yeah, they ran the ball from side to side, side to side. It was a very definite strategy that they were employing, and it worked for them. And the Waratahs couldn't match it. I think they were playing 37-degree heat, and the referee had to stop the game in the second half for a drinks break. That's how hot it was.
Mm.
Waratahs tried to come back, got a class outfit, and they probably could have if the game had gone for another 20 minutes, but it didn't.
Now, moving on to the greatest upset since Munster beat the All Blacks, Lions 9, Crusaders 3 in Johannesburg.
I don't think anybody saw this game.
Can the Crusaders now beat Katina. Anyone?
Well, so far not this year.
Well, this is almost equal lowest scoring game in Super 12 history.
Yes, yes.
You wouldn't have picked from a game.
Yeah, four penalties of
all the Brumbies for that matter. Mm.
And
four penalties.
And that was what the game was designed.
Look, lots of guts from the Lions, and you think the Crusaders really are missing their seven All Blacks.
Yeah, because from the little bit I saw of the game, it was the Lions on the attack, and the Crusaders, when they got the ball, yes, they managed to break the line, charge through, do all the good keyword
stuff. Yeah,
but they didn't have the finish for it. And they were playing deep inside their own half, and they just couldn't finish, and they couldn't get anywhere close to it.
I don't think the Crusaders really looked like scoring for much of the game.
No, they had the breaks, though. It's just they were playing from inside their own half, most of the time.
You're not going to get, in most games, more than one long-range try. The rest you have to get up close and work for it.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, very few teams can get any long range tries at all at the moment.
Frankly, I think this is a fantastic win for the Lions, and we'll wish them well for more, because we'd like to see another competitive team now. We'd like to see one of the pushovers.
Well, it certainly makes tipping more interesting for the rest of the.
The next round, who's going to be willing to tip the Crusaders, I've got to say?
Not me. Mm. But let's move on.
I don't know about that.
Sharks 23. Highlanders 16 in Durban, reasonably predictable looking back.
I don't think anybody was really keen on the Highlanders because they really haven't been performing.
Katina and Ben both tipped the Highlanders.
I know, but Ben, we
Ben's
know.
Totally one eye.
And Katina was going for.
I'm not sure what Katina was thinking at all.
Well, she's going the odd choices and trying to get them. That's just the way it goes.
Yep.
Anything to say on the game?
Yeah, great game from Percy.
Yeah, that's his great game done. He only does one every season.
Well, it's not his first one. He had another one last week, so it's two in a row for Percy.
Oh, he's over for the
magic,
season.
Magic boots.
Are they still white? Or has he gone pink or something?
I think it's silver this year.
Silver.
He used to be golden, so he's stepped down in the world.
Yes, but he scored all of the points
like
for the Sharks. He scored all of the Sharks' points.
Mm-hmm.
And was one of those, he's one of those fullbacks that for the Sharks appeared at the right time, the right place at the right time.
All right, now just focusing on the Sharks for a minute. They've won 3 from 3. They're on top
all
of the ladder.
South Africa, though.
All at home.
Yeah.
Not just in South Africa, but they're all on their home ground. They've got a bye.
No, the Sharks are at sea level.
No, they've got a bye next week, and then they play the Crusaders the week after in South Africa.
They have not racked up a bonus point yet.
Okay.
So no 4 tries.
But they're the only team to win 3.
But they've pretty much burnt their home run. They've got no more games at home.
They've got the next game at home.
I know.
In 2 weeks.
Okay,
time.
But after that run's finished, then they go on a really long tour.
Hmm.
And if they plan it right and get their heads right, then a really long tour, you start coming good by the end of it, even if you wobble at the start. So.
But I'm not sure if their wins to date have really been that impressive. Now, they beat the Bulls quite successfully, but the Bulls haven't really been impressive that much in the last couple of games.
The Bulls are looking less good than we thought.
Yep. They beat the Waratahs, and once again, the Waratahs are weak at the moment. They haven't got a hell of a lot of leadership.
I think the Waratahs are going to look $1 million better once they start playing at home. But we'll see.
So are the Sharks going to be there in the top four at the end of the season, or is this just a bit of an aberration?
You can't get past runs on the board, but it is going to get harder for them.
Look, I say yes. They're like the Brumbies. We've had a couple of, we have traditionally the stronger teams at home this year, and that's we count that as a good thing. The Sharks have played 3 traditionally strong teams, at home, but they've come away with the points. If they travel for it, the Sharks have always travelled quite well. So I think, they're real contenders.
Well, I remember John saying the other week that the Sharks were the best travellers of the South African teams, did you say?
Yes.
I think they're actually, they're looking the money. They played really well.
Say, I wouldn't mind seeing facing them at another grand final at Bruce at the end of May.
I'd prefer them than the New Zealand team.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all.
A bit of an interesting appearance in the Sharks pack last week. Bobby Skinstead.
Oh, he's back?
Yep. He's given up the commentating game. He's now playing again. He made an appearance off the bench for the Sharks.
And played the Sharks, not the Stormers.
I think
it was
Sharks.
He was always a Stormers boy, was he?
Might have been a Stormers he played for.
Cape Town,
yeah.
Can't
recall.
It was one of the Stormers, the Sharks, but he made it back this week.
There you go. Well, let's go to another song.
Yep, and we'll be back in a minute.
Each summer's like an oven that you and I are cooking in. And you're like a chicken, and I'm your marinade. John can be the seasoning, Mary can be the maid. Yeah, I know that you want him, yeah. I know that you do. I know that you sizzle when his eyes dismantle you. Well, I've been sitting in this cafe. There's an angel dressed in red. She's sitting by the window with a Bible and a pen. And conversations with the waitress comes with queries of the weather. And poor old Dusty Springfield's on the radio again. I've been rolling like a steam train, trying to forget you. But every town and every city that I travel to remind me of you, remind me of you. Oh, I've been drinking from the river as children jump from the bridge. And God is just an office and a home upon the ridge. Well, Johnny joined the homeless now. They're a militant brigade. He robbed a woman on the corner with a pitchfork and a blade. Always knew that he was crazy. He never could go back into the shape which people create. The statue of the world. Reminding me of you. Reminding me of you. Oh, oh, reminding me of you. February's burning, I'm peeling off my skin. I'm just waiting for the ocean to come on rolling in. Well, they say it's gonna happen sometime soon. And there'll be no place left, no place left for me, and no place left for you. I've been thinking about the present, you've been talking about the past. And Tommy's so impatient, and it's running out of luck. Reminding me of you. Reminding me of you. Reminding me of you. Reminding me of you.
Okay, that was Winter Sun, once again, by Tom Woodward.
No, that was Reminding Me of You.
Was it? Ah, right. Okay.
The lyrics sound very similar to Bob Dylan.
If I wasn't rabbiting on, I should have had
George Orwell. George Orwell.
All right, let's have a beer. The beer tonight is a Michelob Ultra.
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 Yes. From the States. It's a low-carb, low-calorie beer.
No, it's not. It's from St. Louis.
Yeah, they try to pretend they're Canadian. Yeah, it's Anheuser-Busch. You're very right.
Well, anyway, the reason why we're trying it is because it's on promotion at the bar and we thought, oh, bugger, we'll give it a try.
Well, it's cheap.
Now, it's a low-calorie beer.
355 mils.
4.2. If I was making a beer to taste like a soft drink, this is the beer I would make.
Yeah, no, much. Soft drink has more taste.
Soft drink has more bubbles. Yeah. More sugar. Mm.
It's a very soft drink.
Oh, I guess when I first tried it, they just pulled it out of a bucket of ice and the first gulp was warm. Mm. And the rest of the bottle was cold. So I don't know why, but the cold didn't actually go all the way through.
It could have just been freshly put in the ice.
No, no, because the rest of it was cold.
Well, anyway, you have a thermodynamically challenged bottle of Michelob.
Yes.
I think if you don't like beer very much, then this would be a good beer to drink.
Yes.
And at the moment, it's cheap here.
How much was it?
$4.
$4 for 335 mils of
4.2.
$3.55.
Imported
beer.
It's being imported doesn't make it good beer. I mean,
no, but it does normally make it a bit more expensive.
Yeah.
It says smooth and refreshing. It is smooth. It is refreshing. It also is lacking taste.
I think on a really stinking hot day, this might actually be not so bad to come home from a hard day.
But it's not really stinking hot day today because we've had a bit of rain. It's quite cool in here.
Yeah, the air conditioning's roaring away. Yeah.
I would disagree. I'd say it doesn't have any taste now that it's warm, but most beer doesn't have much taste when it's warm.
True.
It normally has more taste when it's warm.
Fresh.
It's taking taste off.
Cold. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Well, let's just say, if I buy another beer for the end of this podcast, which I probably will, it won't be another one of these.
No.
I agree.
Okay. I would have bought another one.
The verdict is cast.
As it's you'll buy next, Tim.
Great. All right. Now,
I'll find some cheap.
Moving on in this mic break, Scrum Rules. There have been less resets so far in this competition than at the same time last year.
But there's also been...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. You think they're doctoring the figures?
I think they are.
there's also only been four teams that have scored four tries in a game.
I don't
think
we can blame the scrum rules for that. I think that's the rules of the breakdown.
I know, but I'm just saying everything seems to be down.
Well, it might be because, you know, the reset scrums and the scrums that are there are taking so much longer.
There's less time to score tries.
You've been also, it could be that the scrum too much, have you?
No, I don't really.
You're channeling whinging Sydney media again.
We were saying that it's turning into really boring ads because the scrummaging takes too long.
My God, the man's a genius. He has the same thought as me.
Look at the scores: Hurricanes 23, Blues 22, Cheetahs 30, Waratahs 26. There have been Bulls 27, Force 30. Other teams have been able to score significant numbers of points. Teams that refuse to take risks end up looking boring, and that's no surprise. And the Brumbies, I hate to say, to be
Crusaders and Brumbies.
Yeah,
that's right. They suck. And Reds, they suck too.
Yeah,
yeah. That's not because they're not trying anything. It's just what they suck.
I think the scrum is finally starting to bed itself down. People are understanding it more. The teams are playing. Front rowers are all getting to.
I just like the way they do their, they have to do their touch. It's really just a real slap at each other's eyes, isn't it? Just to make them see if they can knock each other's contacts out or something.
It's interesting. It's not so much on the field anymore. It's now between the coaches and the referees.
Oh, it's always been between the coaches and the referees.
Eddie Jones and his big mouth.
Yeah, once you let Eddie into the coaching box, you're going to expect lots of big mouth.
Worth a suspension. He's probably going to cop a $10,000 fine. He's already checked with his accountant, apparently.
Yeah.
Is he going to cop a suspension as well?
I don't think they should be fining people for expressing an opinion. I think that's fundamentally
wrong. They should be doing the next day, not straight after the match, though. After they've had a chance to watch the replay.
Yeah, I think the post-match press conference, I mean, that's a big thing. The mouthing off without actually having seen the game is...
Well, I have seen the game.
Yeah,
but... slow motion replay.
We all know that the game you see sitting on the sideline can be a very different affair to
especially
the
game. For me, because it's all through a beer haze. But, besides that.
But also, you're all pumped up and you're emotional, that sort of stuff.
And you've only got one perspective, and the Lord knows all the things happen on those other perspectives.
I'm emotional. For Eddie.
Okay.
Yeah, Eddie gets emotional. I think they should ban the post-match coach's press conference myself. That would solve a whole lot of problems.
Well, at least for the losing coach.
Winning coach is all smiles, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so
smiles and composure.
Yeah,
yes.
And the refs did a great job.
Yeah, and our plan came off perfectly. Anything else you want to say on that?
No.
Any other matters of business?
No.
All right.
So can we listen to Winter Sun now?
Let's listen to Winter Sun now. I know you've been hanging out.
Okay.
God gave me a crooked green. I try not to use it too much, but sometimes my lips, they creep right up, and my mouth and my eyelids touch. Well, it's not the kind of smile you could use to sell a car, but I once seduced a lady who had the looks of a movie star. Well, we made all sorts of plans, and we made all sorts of deals. We saved up all the money, so our feet could ride on wheels. Went down to the river beneath the winter sun, and beneath us all the flowers wept as two fell into one. Feel the winter sun getting warmer, but her eyes, they get colder every day. My imagination won't let me slumber. There's mud down in the river where we lay. Don't take responsibility for all the lousy things that I say. I never really knew that for every spoken thought there's a price that somebody's gotta pay. Well, I loved her like a mother. She was older than her age. Or perhaps I just can't escape this adolescent rage. I feel the winter sun get a moment as she tells me that we'll have to rearrange. And there's a moment like a letter just arriving. For a second I was sure we'd never change. There's smoke down in the river where we lay.
Okay, that was Tom Woodward, The Winter Sun. I got this right this time.
Not in Cuba.
Not in Cuba?
No, Canberra. The Winter Sun in Canberra. Yeah.
What's
wrong with
The Winter Sun?
My deepest, darkest, type of well, let's move on to the coming week. We've got the Hurricanes v Brumbies in Wellington. Should be a bit of a cracking match.
We hope.
We hope.
Well, actually, I don't hope it is. I hope really the Brumbies go out there and thrash them.
I want to see four tries.
It is two.
Preferably from us.
Two each.
Two of the higher placed teams in the competition today doing a bit of settling up. One team won't be very high placed at all after this.
No.
Well, the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes have almost. Almost. Doubled the number of points scored this year than the Brumbies.
Yeah. On the other hand, there are probably more frailties in their defence than some of the other teams.
They have more than doubled the number of points against than the Brumbies.
Exactly.
The Brumbies are only 35 against, the Canes are 39 against.
So maybe Fisher was just, you know, trying to fox a bit, saying it's a boring ball all the way and they're just going to unleash our backs this time.
Well,
if we can but hope.
If the Brumbies can't beat Wellington minus, what, they're missing five All Blacks?
Three.
Is that all?
Yep.
Anyway, minus three All Blacks. The Brumbies have got no hope whatsoever of being.
What I find interesting is, just one little anecdote for this match. I'm wondering if Julian Huxley is going to try and outdo Stephen Larkin for the amount of bandaging and padding that he's going to had on him last week.
You know,
well, I thought he came
Brumbies
pretty close.
Brumbies pivots have to look like the mummy. That's you know, it's a rule.
But to link Huxley and the boring ball. Huxley came out and almost contradicted Fisher today in a press release, media conference, saying that he was looking forward to an expansive running game.
Well, he does a lot of running.
Wilkinson says that before every game.
But Huxley does all the running for the Brumbies. Yeah. He kicks the ball up and he chases it down. I still say it's one of the best things.
That's not how a running game is.
He's running after it to make sure they don't throw it in.
Yes,
and he's the only one who does it.
Have to work on their chasing game.
Well, we have.
So are we going to say who we've tipped off?
The calls here, Katina's Hurricanes, as am I.
Everyone else Brumbies?
Everyone else Brumbies. So John, Nick and Rob Brumbies and nothing from Sanford.
You're so desperate to close those 4 points, you're willing to betray your...
I said it a couple of weeks ago.
He's always a traitor.
If my tip comes in, I'm feeling good. If the Brumbies win, I feel good too. In this instance, I think the Hurricanes...
So your feeling being good is more important than your loyalty.
I'm
that's
being
all, yeah.
fairly you know, objective here, and I think the Hurricanes at home are going to be a bit strong.
Yeah, Brumbies are travelling a long way.
That's right.
Okay.
Next up, Highlanders v Stormers in Dunedin. Both teams travelling back from the Republic,
Stormers in Dunedin.
Do we think they flew over the pole to get there?
They could have been a transpolar flight. There is a lot of those from New Zealand. That's why their Air New Zealand planes crash every now and then.
I hope not. My dad had to fork out a lot of money for his recent trip to the pole.
The passenger flights from New Zealand do often go transpolar over the South Pole. So
well, next... Well, these ones not next time. Good. If I ever travel to South Africa, I'm going to go to New Zealand first and see if I can do a trip via the pole on the way.
They'll take you via Melbourne and Perth.
Double
and possibly Diego Garcia if you're really unlucky.
I think it's a given. Everyone here is tipping the Highlanders.
Everyone.
And, wow. Everyone's giving the Highlands, and yep. probably by a regional margin, mm-hmm. yeah, which will be interesting. Well, the Highlanders haven't shown any ability to score.
The Highlanders haven't done anything really impressive.
No. But the Highlanders, they might have actually gotten acclimatised to the heat now and won't be able to stand the cold. So that's the other thing.
The House of Pain really hasn't been that painful for a while, so we'll see what happens.
It's the Stormers.
Okay, all right. I don't think it's going to be an impressive game, whatever the result.
No, it won't be. Moving on. Blues v. Reds in Auckland.
Suck it, Red. Blue rules.
Red v. Blue.
For those who haven't seen it, I'd just like to plug one of my favourite McKinnema shows, Red vs. Blue. Look on the internet, it's really good.
My girlfriend this afternoon, when she was figuring out her tips, said, "Ooh, it's Rob's favourite game." It took me, 5 minutes to figure out what the hell she was talking about. But I got there.
Blues, Reds and Auckland. Reds coming off a dour loss with a couple of injuries. Blues coming off a loss
really
as well,
close
but a really close loss, and then having shown a lot of form during the season so far.
But Reds showed very little quality at all last week, and that was at home. Now they're going to Auckland, so I think we've all tipped
should,
Blues.
Should be
we've, all tipped, we've all tipped the Blues.
Red, suck it, Red. Blue rules.
If there's going to be an upset, this might be where it is, I reckon.
That'd be a pretty big upset.
might be where it's at.
Yeah.
Alright.
Force v Lions in Perth.
Both
travelling from the Republic as well.
The Force is my second Australian team.
What I like is how the
Force fans are going to be going berserk for this one.
I'm betting they're going to be disappointed because every time the Force
can't win at home.
Every time they have an expectation of winning, they lose.
Force has shown. It's surprising because
they win the games.
The guys last season were like, the force. Why would you tip the Force? That's one of the teams you don't tip. And you ridiculed me for tipping the Force.
Okay, you didn't lose that competition.
Okay, just remember. remember, boys and girls, what's rule one?
Guess
who the Lions are? The Cats.
I think I've tipped the Force every win the Force has had. I must be on a roll.
Yeah, but how many losses have you tipped them in for?
Yeah, more than that. Nonetheless, we've all, without fail, tipped the Force this week over the Lions.
Yeah.
Lions are not going to maintain their winning streak off the Crusaders.
No.
No, they played their grand final already.
That's it.
Bulls, Chiefs in Pretoria. Ooh. Bulls coming off a loss. Chiefs coming off a loss as well. Bulls haven't shown a lot. Chiefs, pre-season favourites.
And have shown even less.
Yeah. In Pretoria, close one. I tip with no confidence, but I tip the Bulls.
I'm the same.
Yeah,
I'm going the Bulls.
And so has Katina. So the Bulls all through there.
So even if they lose, no one minds. Excellent.
No, not particularly. except for all the Bulls fans.
Well,
there's not that many of them,
and we don't like them much anyway.
No, true. Cheetahs v Crusaders in Bloemfontein. Cheetahs coming.
They can't beat the Lions.
Cheetahs coming up a great win. Crusaders off a loss, but you wonder how long they're going to keep losing for.
I just can't see how the Crusaders are going to win this.
Well, possibly by playing rugby like they used to.
Yeah. Well, it depends how many All Blacks come back.
Not yet.
They don't come back until week six.
Not true. Rodney Soiala was sitting on the bench for the Hurricanes last week.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just been dropped from the All Blacks side.
I don't think so. We've all got the Cheetahs, with the exception of Katina, who's had a left field pick and gone to left field. Gone Crusaders.
And she tipped the Lions over.
She did. She tipped the Lions.
Well, she knows something about between the Lions and the Cheetahs that we don't.
Yeah, she arranged something and took the money away.
Yeah. I think the Crusaders, with missing their senior players, while still very talented, what you lose with those guys is composure.
Cohesion, leadership.
Yep, and having suffered a bad loss against the Lions, I don't see them recovering on this tour.
I think the Cheetahs have played a really good series of games.
Yeah, that's very, very tactical. The Cheetahs are a very solid good team, which is why between those two factors, it's very hard to see Crusaders win.
Interesting to see how they go if it's another hot day. And whether the Cheetahs play silly buggers like landing a parachutist in there, shooting the Crusaders 22 to disrupt their warm up.
Well,
or having their mascot smack up the
physio.
Their physio was really good about that though. He made some quite dry quirks.
At the time, remember.
That was the Waratahs guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why that was the champ of Waratahs meeting.
He said it was. It was a poor hit.
You know how you can tell when the Waratahs
come home
from South Africa?
Right after the, was it?
Yeah, how you can tell which plane the Waratahs come home from South Africa on?
No.
The engines stop, but the whining continues.
Nice.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, that's us done, isn't it?
That's it. Yep.
All right, may all your tips be winning ones, except where they contradict mine, although there seems to be a pretty fair consensus this week.
Only here, though. Who knows what's happening in the greater world?
In the greater world.
Yeah,
anyway, thank you very much for listening all this way. Thank you to Tom Woodward for letting us use his songs. Thank you to Wolf Arnun for letting us use their bar. And that's it from us.
We'll see you next week.
Hopefully back on Monday next week.